Blog Talk Radio.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com. Welcome to Keep It Magic. I'm Storm Sestavani, and I am your host for the next hour and a half. Jackie Smith is currently on the Rainbow Tour. You know, she's off in California. She will be coming back tonight. In fact, she arrives in Michigan at 10 p.m., which is why she is not on the show with me today. We have a lot of exciting stuff to announce before I, of course, get into our encore presentation for Beltane of the astrology of Venus. First of all, starting next Tuesday, we will be doing a whole month of the Coventry Magic Book. If you would like to pick up your copy of the Coventry Magic Book, you can go to www.coventrycreations.com. Again, that's www.coventrycreations.com. If you are, of course, Coventry is our sponsor of our show. You can reach me off the air by going to www.psychicfriendsnow.com and also like us on Facebook at Keepin', that's without a G, Keepin' It Magic. That's right, Keepin' It Magic. So we have an encore presentation today of a show with Jackie Smith, Dorothy Morrison, and myself. It is about the astrology of the planet Venus and how to use it magically. So I hope that you all enjoy the show. Remember, check out our sponsor at www.coventrycreations.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com.
On the first page of a story, the future seems so bright, and this thing turned out so evil. I don't know why I'm still surprised. Even angels.
Hush, baby, speak softly. Tell me you're awfully sorry that you pushed me into the coffee table last night so I can push you off me. Try and touch me so I can scream at you not to touch me. Run out the room and I'll follow you like a lost puppy. Baby, without you, I'm nothing. I'm so lost, hug me. Then tell me how ugly I am, but bitch, you'll always love me. Then after that, shove me in the aftermath of the destructive path that we're on. Two psychopaths, but we know that no matter how many now we put in each other's back, that we'll have each other's back. Cause what I'd love. Together we move mountains, let's not make mountains out of molehills. You hit me twice, yeah, but who's counting? I may have hit you three times, I'm starting to lose count. But together, we'll live forever, we found the youth.
afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Keep It Magic. My name is Jackie Smith, and I'm here with my co-host, the amazing Storm Sestavani. And we have an exciting show for you today. Of course, we have an exciting show for you every Tuesday. And this one, you might want to put your seatbelts on because there's a lot that's going to head into your brain off of this show. We're going to talk about the moons and the Venuses and where they are and all that happy jazz. So if you have a question on our show, pick up the phone and give us a call at 760-539-3235. And while you're listening to the show, if you're looking at the internet right now, make sure you check out our sponsor at CoventryCreations.com. And even do it while you're not listening to the show, because I tell you what, no matter what your problem is, if you have a problem in your life about anything, love, money, romance, Venus, moon, we have a candle for that.
Paula.
Now, my friend Storm, you can reach him off the air at psychicfriendsnow.com or like his fan page on Facebook at facebook.com/astrogossip. And you can find our show at keepitmagic.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, and you get all the juicy details if you friend us on Facebook. And you can find us at keepinitmagic.com or keepitmagic. I'm sorry, keepinitmagic on Facebook or keepitmagic on Facebook, either one. So we had a. Why did we choose this song, Storm? Why did we open the show with this song?
Oh, it's evolved. So last week we talked about, of course, all of these women that were on the different social networks that were talking about how Rihanna was stupid for breaking up with Chris Brown because he was so hot and that they were turned on by him and all these other things and that they would love to be beat up by him and everything else. And, you know, we were kind of saying, you know, so Rihanna made a choice not to be involved in a relationship with somebody that beats her up. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, she is now back in a relationship with Chris Brown. So I don't know if she was taking the advice from the abusers or not.
Well, before we get into in-depth in this discussion, you know we want Dorothy to weigh in.
Yeah, I got to hear what Dorothy has to say.
You know, and our special guest for all of February is Dorothy Morrison, and this is our third show with Dorothy Morrison in February. And, of course, February is the month of love. Even though Valentine's Day is over, let's face it, we're all recovering from it. So, Dorothy, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We are so happy to have you here this month. And to find Dorothy online, go to wickedwitchstudios.com. And I think all of you should go to your local bookstore and request Dorothy Morrison books today.
I think
make sure they have them. Go find them. Go buy them.
See, one of the very many reasons that I love you, Jackie.
Right back at you, darling. So
yeah.
You heard us talking about Rihanna and
yeah,
Chris Brown and all this hullabaloo.
I would
what
like to just shake her until her teeth rattle. You know, having been in an abusive relationship, you know, I can promise her that, yep, he's really sorry right now, but he's going to keep on doing this, and I hope she gets out of it before he kills her.
Fair enough.
You know.
There's something that Storm and I were talking about this. Relationship is, A, it's none of our business. In the long run, in a lot of ways, they're out there in the public with all their goods hanging out. And really, you know, they get to choose whatever they get to choose. And
you know, they do get to choose whatever they get to choose, but they have made it our business. That's the problem with being in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in the public eye, you know, your life is out there and you've allowed that.
Right, because the second thing is that you have decided to go in this route in your life and to be a role model, and meaning Rihanna. But also you, myself, Storm, we are in the public eye. We're,
mm-hmm.
This radio show puts us in the public eye. And we all have, every one of us has our two faces, our personal face and our public face. So there's a lot of things about me I don't share on the air and otherwise.
Well,
you
know, there are a lot of things about me that I don't share either, and I go to great lengths to keep certain things private. But the fact is, that a lot of the celebrities do not go to those links to keep things private, and that's why it's out there. They've allowed it to be out there.
Right.
So.
Well, it also with her with okay, back to that we are in the public eye, so we have to understand that we are role models. Because it comes with the territory. We're leaders. We're leaders in the community. We're leaders in our community, in the wider community. And that's not to say, you know, look at me and my ego is saying this. No, this is a responsibility. So there are some things I choose because I am, or I choose not because I'm a leader in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm a role model. Now, I'm not a role model for millions of tweens across the world like Rhiannon is. So that's, and is it fair to put that on her, yes or no, because this is her love life and this is her life. And then the other thing I'm thinking about is, wow, we're really putting it on her now, aren't we?
But the thing here that I think that probably should be stated is that right after all of this occurred, Rihanna appeared on Ellen and basically said that she had no desire to be a role model. You know, that basically
like.
What she was doing was what
I
she was doing
so
was
too.
Art. It was her artistic expression. She doesn't force anybody to buy her records. If people want to go to her buy her records and people want to go to her concerts, then they're making that particular choice on their own. And she isn't telling anybody to do anything. At the same time, Billboard wrote a scathing letter to her, which basically her new album is called Talk That Talk. Mm-hmm. And basically what Billboard says is that she needs to talk that talk. And that basically even though that she doesn't see herself as a role model, that she needs to accept that in 24/7 news coverage, in a tabloid frenzy society, she is inadvertently going to be elected as a role model for many of these people, and it's just something that she's going to have to accept. What she thinks personally is, of course, her choice and her opinion, but Billboard basically stated, you know, that's just something in our particular society now, that's what it is that she's just going to have to accept. The interesting component, I think, with all of this going into her chart a little bit is that I was shocked when I pulled her chart because I thought we were going to see a lot more water than is in her chart. She really has none. She only has the sun in Pisces, which, you know, is addictive, has a lot of addictive tendencies and tends to seek that perfect union, that perfect merging with the source. But what I was shocked to see is that her Venus and her moon are both in the sign of Aries, and I really don't see her expressing that particular type of energy at all. So most likely with her it is unconscious, and she's projecting because she's not expressing that fighting, you know, battle goddess, really. What happens is that because she has an unconscious, she's going to seek it in the outside world, most likely in her relationships. And it's interesting that she has chosen to be attached to some guy that's so volatile.
Well, okay, before we go any further,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, because we have a lot of people who don't speak astrology like you
sure.
speak astrology. So let's talk about the moon in astrology and Venus in astrology, relating specifically to how to look at it in your chart.
Well, first of all, the moon, one of the easy, if you want to use an image to describe the moon, I would probably lean more towards the Greek Demeter, you know, the earth goddess. She's concerned with needs. She's concerned with, you know, making sure that the cycles of time go on. She's concerned with fertility. She's concerned with bodily functions and the body. So the moon in our particular chart is our emotions, our feelings. It rules time. It's our connection to our mother. It's our habits. It's our early childhood, and it's our nourishment, or whether that be food, physical, or emotional, that we need in order to feel safe, comforted, and protected, basically. So the key word that I associate with this, or the key phrase, is I need.
Okay. All right. Now, what is Venus?
Venus I associate with Aphrodite,
okay.
Which we talked about a lot a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
The interesting thing is, I think, like I said before, society has really watered down Aphrodite into, you know, the Godiva, bon Godiva eating, laying on a long chair. You know, occasionally will fondle herself, you know, but, you know, for the most part, she's a passive goddess, waiting for Prince Charming to ride up on the horse, I guess. Venus has nothing to do with that. Venus is, in essence, a solar goddess. She's concerned with developing ourself or the sun rather than she is, you know, our physical needs. Venus could care less if you need to eat a hamburger, okay? She wants to know whether or not she can get what it is that she wants, and she's very effective at doing that. She was also a battle goddess. And one of the things, if you think about battle or you think about exchanges with enemies, okay, it is through that particular process that we really teach ourselves about ourselves, we teach ourselves about our what it is that we truly value, and it reveals more about our inner essence, more so than anything else. So Venus has to do with relating, it has to do with open enemies, it has to do with our partnerships, business and or romantic, and one of the major things that I think that people forget about her is that it is through following Venus, it is through understanding how Venus operates in our chart that we truly realize what it is that we value, and basically the key phrase that I have with this is I relate.
Okay. So you talk a lot about, in relationships, you look at the moon and the Venus.
Yes.
How do they work together?
Difficultly. They don't like each other.
Right. So I'm feeling that. I'm seeing this now. But we, you know, we'll get into the Venus aspects a little bit more later, but I just wanted to talk about how what you said earlier to me was that the moon is the I need,
uh-huh.
And it is you kind of relate to people. It's the groundwork for how you.
Yeah.
It's the groundwork for how you have relationships with people.
Our first love affair in life is with our mother, whether we like it or not, because we come from her womb, and she feeds us. Whether she's a good enough mother or not, she feeds us, and that's who we develop our first relationship. And then we kind of, you know, it isn't really psychologically, it isn't until around the age of one that we start to realize there's a daddy that exists.
Okay. So this is where we get that nurturing relationship with the moon.
Yes.
But then in Venus, what we're doing is we're finding our sense of self within the relationship.
We don't really, Venus really is not activated until we start to realize that there is an outer world out there. So basically, you know, usually it starts to develop between the ages of 2 and 5, you know, which is when we start to have our play dates and we start to meet other children and we go to kindergarten. That's when Venus becomes a little bit more activated at that particular point. The difficulty with this is, and especially in modern society, okay, my concern is that a lot of metaphysical approaches, a lot of pagan approaches, a lot of religious approaches very much value this moon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily value this Venus, okay? And I think that if you stay focused very much on the moon for example, if your issues with your moon are not solid, okay, it's going to be very difficult to move from moon to Venus. In other words, if you have very large family of origin issues, if you have a lot of difficulty getting your needs met in your relationship, if you're constantly worried about whether or not that your boyfriend or husband is cheating on you, If you are not able to construct your day in a solid way and you're not able to manage time, if you're not able to feed yourself properly, if you're not able to create a schedule, all of the concerns of the moon, if you don't develop this, okay, and you don't get in touch with this particular energy, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to express the Venus.
Which is how you relate to other people.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're constantly concerned with you, if it's all about you, it's never going to be about them. And if you don't do them, you're not really going to learn about you.
Interesting. And so everything is related.
Yes.
Now, Dorothy, in your moon magic book, you go through the magical work to do when the moon is in these different signs. And so we were talking about how this absolutely relates to maybe where your moon is, and you're not sure, if you weren't sure how to help yourself magically work through that or even heal through that.
Well, yeah. You know, there are a couple things that I'm going to say about the Aries moon sign. Aries moon people seldom dwell on their problems because they realize that negativity feeds them and that wastes time, and time's a valuable commodity, okay? So what they do is they take action, and they cut the problem off at the root. The problem is that they act first, and they think about it later.
Okay.
And you know, and this can cause a terrible problem. You know, Aries moon people are really good at magical efforts that involve motivation, efficiency, productivity, even confrontation. I think that what I'd like to go through with these moon signs are some affirmations for the different moon signs. With Aries, I am the magic where action is key. But before I act, I look carefully at the events that lead to the outcome. Because it's those events that lead to the outcome that are important, normally, not the outcome itself.
And all of this is in Moon Magic, Everyday Moon Magic by Dorothy Morrison. Everyday Moon Magic by Dorothy Morrison, which is published by Llewellyn, and you can get that. You see, this is a whole thing. You go into the store and ask for it. They order it for you. Support your local store.
You know what? I'm willing to bet you it's on the shelf.
It's on the shelf at Candlewick Shop, that's for sure. And if you are wondering what your moon sign is, if you have not had that, where can they go, Storm?
You can go to astro.com or you can go to Alabe, Alabe.com, and you can run your chart on those particular sites.
So when we take a break in a few minutes, go ahead while the song's playing, run over there, run your chart, so you'll need, of course, when you were born, the date, and the time. Would they need the time yet?
If you don't know the time, just put in 12 noon.
Okay. But, yeah, because you just to find your moon and your Venus.
Yeah.
I try and find that every day. So, now, Storm, what you have, you so graciously provided both Dorothy and I with cheat sheets on the stuff that you wrote about the different moons and Venuses, which made us laugh because you wrote it, and then we looked up ours after what you wrote, and we all started laughing because it was right there. So talk to me about Aries moon.
The moon in Aries is really, first of all, it's a fiery moon. It's more concerned with a potential and possibility and what can be than necessarily concrete physical reality. In fact, within Aries moon, reality is probably the last thing that they want to be concerned about, you know, because they would much rather go out into the streets and create energy and be independent and learn about themselves than they would, you know, paying their light bill. productively. It's that people that use this productively, you know, that they're inspiring, they're spontaneous, they're enthusiastic, they have an enormous amount of energy, they know how to go out there and really express what it is that they need, okay? When it is challenging or it's not working properly, they may be reckless, they may be impulsive, combative, they like to fight, they like to argue because there's a lot of heat if you think about arguments, there's a lot of heat and passion in that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So nourishment, which I think is important for the moon, is in Aries is found through self-expression. So the more that they can express themselves, the better off, and the more that they will feel complete within that moon.
And you said that Rhiannon has an Aries moon, did you not?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So she's obviously expressing herself through her music. So this is good for her music and her career too, right?
Yes.
Right. And you said her Venus is, because she has an Aries, her Venus is an Aries.
Yes.
And you were saying that she works with that unconsciously because that's her relationship with other.
Yes.
Others, and she's not developing that self-awareness and that self-confidence.
Well, with Venus being in Aries, the difficulty is that it is spontaneous and it is energetic and it is assertive. And I think that we see that a bit in regards to, you know, her provocative image, you know, doing songs called S&M, you know, songs with Disturbia. I think that we see a bit of it. It's not all completely going to be unconscious. But what I don't see in regards to her relationships is, you know, the battle goddess. You know, put it this way. If a Venus in Aries is acting consciously, you know, Dorothy, you have Venus in Aries. You
yeah.
would have taken off your earrings and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Unless that is what's driving her, and she needs that conflict.
Because Venus in Aries needs adventure, passion, and romance, right?
Yes.
And so there's the adventure, not knowing what he's going to do next. There's the passion in that fight. And I'm willing to bet you that when he's being a good boy, he romances her like crazy.
Well, interestingly enough, his Venus is in Taurus, so he's into the whole sensual, you know, he probably is incredible in bed.
Yeah.
But you know, which has its own addictive propensity. You know, there was a tweet that he sent to her yesterday that basically said, "God, I miss your body. Effing you is incredible."
Mm-hmm.
You
want that in public.
Yeah. Yeah, you want that in public, so the tabloids can have that on page 6 tomorrow. You know.
Yeah. And not on the front page. Yeah.
Yeah, the difficulty is that this can also be a very irresponsible Venus, and it can be self-centered, and it can be argumentative. It would not surprise me with her Venus in Aries the way that it is, and because we don't see a lot of it in regards to her life, you know, she may be unconsciously provoking the particular side of him. Interestingly enough, he comes from a family background that is extremely violent. He has never shown any violent tendencies until he hooked up with her.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be, yeah, that is interesting. So they just might combust when they come together. Now, magically, with Moon in Aries, if you're feeling positively aspect, if you want to accentuate that independent nature, if you want to accentuate all of that energy, that spontaneity, and taking risks, just feeling that intuition and taking that risk, that would be, I would absolutely use the fire, energy, and will, blessed herbal candle, or the oil, or the incense that goes with it.
What would you recommend for them to think about what they're doing before they do it?
I think I would probably go with the Vision Quest candle. The reason why is it's a little more, or the Happy Home candle, and the reason why is that both of them are a little more self-reflective.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Heart candle is a little more self-reflective. Versus, I wouldn't do the Air Inspiration candle because I think that air would just feed the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I would use the Air and the Fire candle if you needed to wake up your Aries moon a little bit. Because you can go either way, you know, do I need to do more of this? Am I a little afraid of it? Whatever, depending on how everything else is aspected. But to counter it, if you're being a little bit too impulsive, even like the Vision Quest, Heart, and Happy Home. I would use that as a combination. Of course, I always encourage you to use the candles, but the candle oil incense blend or even the votives to understand your how your actions affect other people.
Yeah, you know, I think taking risks is great, and Aries really does chart new territory. But I also think that it's important to look at outcome scenarios.
Yeah. So thus the vision quest. Or the other thing is the Amber Moon, Witch's Brew, and even the, I think that would be the other one I would use, just that inner vision issue. Now, Taurus, moving into Taurus, and actually before we move into Taurus, we should take that quick break, take a breath, and then knock those moons out on the other side of this. So we have to take a break. Check out our sponsor, CoventryCreations.com. Go get your astrological chart at astro.com or take a visit to WickedWitchStudios.com and see what Dorothy's been up to, and we will be right back. Do not touch that button.
Every now and then.
Welcome back to Keep It Magic. I'm here with my co-host, Storm Sestavani, and, of course, our favorite special guest, Dorothy Morrison. And if you have a question about your moon, make sure you go look it up before you ask us what it is. Or your Venus, I almost said Virgo. I'm the Virgo. If your Venus, give us a call at 760-539-3235. So we were on the Taurus moon, which, Storm, you said something really interesting on the break relating to our whole conversation earlier.
Rhiannon, we all want to make her the goddess Rhiannon for some reason, but Rhiannon, her real name is Robin, so Robin has her Venus and her moon in Aries, and Chris Brown has his Venus and his moon in Taurus. The Taurian moon needs everything sound, productive, stable. It likes structure. It likes foundation. When it's operating in a positive way, it can be very sensual, reliable, and consistent. When it's being challenged, of course, it can be possessive, stubborn, very, very self-indulgent. So basically, what this particular moon needs is form and structure. Now, I'm just going to take a wild intuitive guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that who she is attracts him to her, but I think he would much rather have her at home making him a hot roast beef sandwich and some apple pie.
I think you're probably right.
And I think that probably the attention that she gets, the over-sexualized image, the fact that, you know, probably men are at home, doing things to themselves as they're thinking about her. And there's supposedly a sex tape somewhere, but, you know, that'll probably come out next. But, I think that he has probably a very difficult time dealing with all that.
I can see that, like, she pushes him to the edge, which, you know, he's the responsible person for falling off of it.
Yeah.
Now, you say something similar about Taurus, the Taurus moon sign as well, Dorothy, about being plotting and planning along.
Well, they do. You know, Taurus moon practitioners are extremely patient. They don't expect things to happen overnight because they know that everything that's worthwhile is worth waiting for. But they see magical effort as a construction process, you know, like they're building a comfortable home, and they plan so that everything works right to manifest. And they do really well with efforts with, like, long-range goals and long-range accomplishments. They really are good at building relationships when they want to. And those things take patience and tedious handling, and they're okay with that. But, you know, when Taurus moon is acting up or acting out, they are so stubborn. They want it their way. They don't care if you draw them a if someone draws them a picture and says, you know, look, here, this is where the problem is. They're not going to go with that. And the other thing is, you know, with Taurus, their rule of thumb is, if a little is good, a whole hell of a lot is much better. And so they overdo everything. And that can be, you know, that can just be a cluster. When it comes to magic, you know, too much. And so for the Taurus, as far as the Taurus moon information, you know, I am patient. I plan and I plod. I put everything in position. But I must learn to accept that change equals growth, and that the laws that rule living in magic lock my opportunities doors. So the stubbornness is what locks them up, and they need to let go of that. So what would you recommend to get rid of that stubbornness, Jackie?
If stubbornness is the thing that's stopping you, I would do an uncrossing candle for that. Because you're in your own way. Stubbornness is absolutely getting in your own way. Or I would do the Out of My Way Wicked Witch Mojo candle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've used that very successfully to get out of my own way, to see the block that I've put in there and get that out of my way, and then release that and work from a different place. Works brilliantly, I have to tell you. The other thing I would potentially do is spiritual cleansing, either in the Blessed Herbal or the Hoodoo line, just because you get so stuck, it's like you just gotta start washing it away, you know. So that helps. But the uncrossing from the Hoodoo line, the Out of My Way from the Wicked Witch Mojo, or the spiritual cleansing from any of our lines, I would use any combination of those.
Great.
And then, but if you have not embraced your Taurus aspect, if you find you're really impatient and you're negatively aspected that way, it keeps pushing you into impatience, I would put in, I think I would do something crazy like, well, of course, the earth candle to pull that earth back in. But I think I might do something crazy like Scales of Justice just to weigh things out and find that when you're patient. Scales of Justice helps with patience a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. That would be an interesting little thing. And what about Gemini Moon?
I wouldn't want to sit down and have a cry fest to the Gemini Moon because they wouldn't tolerate it. They don't really like a lot of emotions. It can be overwhelming to them. It basically, the way that what a Gemini Moon needs is it needs to learn, it needs to communicate with others, it needs to have exchanges in which they can begin to start to find out meanings and associations and be able to label things in a proper sort of way. It's inquisitive, it's sociable, it's lighthearted. When it's not working properly or when it's challenging, it can be superficial, it can be shallow, it can be noncommittal. Sometimes it has a really hard time making decisions, which it has in common with Libra. Basically, the way that if you have the moon in Gemini or you're in love with the moon in Gemini, the way to make them feel nourished is basically through knowledge and intellectual pursuits. The more that they know, the better. Don't get caught up in an emotional excess because they're just not going to relate to it, and they're going to, as you're in the room seething with the Gemini moon and, you know, passionate and angry and upset, they're going to dissociate and go into the garage to read Auto Mechanic magazine.
Now, what do you have for Gemini moon, Dorothy?
You know, as far as magical practitioners go, Gemini knows how to communicate. They understand the importance of being specific when they're working magic, and they don't forget to dot their I's or cross their T's, and they don't leave anything to chance. So normally, whatever magic they perform manifests with expected results and in record time. But when it's in detriment, the Gemini moon is extremely airheaded. and it ricochets from one thing to the other. Just like Storm was talking about, oh, well, I'll just pick up this magazine now. You know, they do that kind of thing in magic, too. And so this often causes them to start new projects before the old ones are done. And when you do that in magic, that's a mess. That's a hot mess. So, they need to learn to concentrate and focus when it comes to magic. I think a good affirmation for Gemini would be, I hold the magical key to the word, whether it's verbal or written. My thoughts are well focused and they come across well. as focus shifts toward pure clarity, I manifest everything I desire.
I like that. I like that. So what I would say, if you either end, if you need to bring in more Gemini energy, if you don't have enough, I would say the intuition, affirmation candle, the inspiration blessed herbal candle. I would even go as far as saying on the witch's brew, I would bring in the evil eye candle, because just to bring in that clarity of thought, spiritual protection, clarity of thought on that one. Now, if you were flipped, I would use the Eye of Newt candle on the witch's brew, because that's going to clear out that negativity, that jumbled up stuff.
And what will that also help them to focus?
Yep. And then in the Wicked Witch Mojo line, I would use the poof candle to poof all that confusion away.
Mm-hmm.
I think or bringing in the earth energy, either the goddess affirmation or the earth blessed herbal candle to anchor it down.
Okay.
And that's, so if you're looking at, I can't get focused on this, I can't focus on, say, one relationship, I can't focus on my own needs, that kind of thing. Bring in that earth energy and that poof energy to kind of poof away that confusion. Now, Storm, you have a couple of charts in front of you. Let us know when we're running across one of our own moons.
Ellen's husband, you know, Cone Flower Tarot, has the moon in Gemini, and she wanted to know if I knew him. So I told her I am him.
Sure. Do you have Gemini moon? No, you don't.
No.
I was going to say. Okay, so Cancer moon.
I'm going to put a little phrase on this one, which I think you all will find humorous.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not one thing, it's your mother. The moon in Cancer, first of all, the moon rules the sign of Cancer, so it's excessively emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's changeable. It likes to initiate things. It doesn't necessarily like to finish them, but it is really about emotional security. And it's receptive, you know, like I said, nurturing. And it's also very, very maternal, whether it wants to be or not. When it's challenging, it can be very, very insecure. It can be very, very moody. It can be very, very clannish. One of the problems with this particular moon is that they tend to overcompensate for all of these feelings by trying to be airy and trying to know how to handle things, and they just make a big, huge, gigantic mess of it. You know, because air is not necessarily their particular element. You know, like I said, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. Now, if it is a Cancer, if you're dealing with a man with moon in Cancer, God help you. You may need to get him to divorce his mother, more so than anything else. But basically, nourishment for the moon in Cancer is found through emotional connections with families and others. They really need isolation. Is very, very paralyzing for them.
That's interesting. I'm thinking to myself, how many characters and books that I've read, I would love to do their astrological chart, really, because it...
You know what I do? This will sound crazy. And one of the reasons why I love reading I'm a fiction addict. That's how I taught myself a lot of astrology, is that I would create astrology charts for all these characters.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Have fun.
Doesn't it sound like fun? Oh, the things. Okay. So, Dorothy, the magical practitioner who has their moon in Cancer.
You know, Cancer moon is ruled by, is very intuitive. People seem to know what you need even before you do, and they go to great lengths to make it happen. They can effortlessly create sacred space, and it's a perfect space where magic can grow and flourish. And this makes them excellent candidates for efforts involving home matters, gardening, love, healing, as well as those that require an inordinate amount of intuitive power or psychism. But
okay.
They also have huge issues with emotional security. They don't trust well. And, you know, it's one thing not to trust somebody with your heart or your innermost secrets, but that lack of faith spells huge, huge amounts of trouble when it comes to magic. Because you have to trust the universe to deliver the result you ask for. So, and if you don't, you're just sabotaging yourself. So I think Cancer Moon needs to think about this. I am the magic that creates the space where the manifestation of magic takes place. And though it is comfortable there in that spot, I learn to place trust in the realms that are not perfect or flawless or certain or sure. For that is where magic flows true, straight, and pure. So they need to learn to trust. What would you do for them?
Learn to trust. Well, you know, this one's a little tough. Hard.
Well, the reason being is that you're not a watery type, Jackie. This is going to be very difficult. It's too it's too dependent on other factors, and it's too empathic.
There would be the heart candle, candle, and the healing candle, and the moon candle, the heart, the healing, and the moon, and really, that's what I would do to just keep that magical, get that trust going in that magical energy, trusting yourself. But the other one that I would use if I wanted to swap one out is instead of the healing candle, maybe doing the inner beauty, the affirmation line, and the reason being is that the inner beauty is that trusting yourself. It's believing in yourself and then thus believing in the universe. Finding that spark of God within. That would be very interesting. Now, if you were completely disconnected, because, you know, I've seen those cancer moons who deny. There's no such thing as a ghost, even though, you know, there's scratches on their back.
Yeah.
So that again, you know, again, I would use a similar thing. I would use the heart candle, and I would use the emotional balance candle. With that, I would bring that one in to play.
Oh, I think the emotional balance candle would work wonders.
Yeah, because it gets them in touch with it, it without it being overwhelming. That's why it's called emotional balance versus just emotional flow. Leo moon.
The Leo moon, first of all, Dorothy and I have different definitions for intuition, which I probably need to explain here. In my particular language, her word for intuition I would probably use as more empathic, because of the fact that it is an empathism is more of an emotional connection or a watery connection, I think, than you know, the traditional definition of intuition, which intuition is more looking into the future. It's not really concerned with the now. It's concerned with potential and possibility and what's going to happen and what might be and what type of dramas and mythologies that we can create in our head. And the reason I bring this up with Leo is that the moon in Leo has not met a drama it hasn't liked. they definitely like to express themselves, and they like being appreciated by others. When it is productively used, it's very self-confident, it's loyal, it's big-hearted, it will give you the shirt off of its back. When it's challenging, it can be very, very prideful. It can be vain, it can be egocentric, you know, the type of food or the nourishment that the moon in Leo needs is by being authentically themselves. A lot of times the difficulty with Leo is that they're so busy trying to intuit what everybody likes that they quit being themselves.
Interesting. Now, what about that magical practitioner who has the moon in Leo, Dorothy?
Well, you know, I think people with Leo moon are really, really powerful when it comes to magical workings because they never second-guess themselves. They know what they want. They know what they're doing. They also know that everything they do is going to meet with success. It couldn't be otherwise,
yeah.
You know. So they do very well with efforts that involve self-confidence, self-esteem, self-worth, as well as those that call for a restructuring of personal characteristics or reinventing one's life. And that's really good stuff. But, you know, in its detriment, Leo Moon is full of itself. It has an arrogance that you seldom find in other signs. Sometimes it has a know-it-all attitude, a lack of respect for the universal plan, and tends to skip important magical steps because, their stuff's going to work anyway. They can't be bothered with the slightest annoyance because it's beneath them and their stature. For this reason, they tend to get frequent wake-up calls from the universe that knock them flat on their asses and make them wonder what happened when it comes to magic. And I have a real good friend with a Leo Moon, and I have seen this happen. And when the universe knocks them on their ass, I mean, it's a big thump, you know? So for them, I think this is a good affirmation. I am the lion, and strong though I am, I adhere strictly to life's cosmic plan. Though I am the matrix from which magic flows, I'm respectful of forces that make magic grow. So I humble myself and follow the way of the natural path of all magic today.
I do like that. I adhere strictly to life's cosmic plan. That's one of the things that Leos don't like to do because they want it their way.
Of course I do.
A little thanks to that, I did it my way. If you haven't felt your Leo yet, if you need a little boost in your Leo,
God forbid.
I would have to say Crown of Glory, the male energy is the sun, even Lucky Seven, just really feeling that I'm, of course it's going to work out, I'm a Lucky Seven. The success affirmation candle, all of those, any of those combinations for you. Just feel it, feel it, feel it. But then you need a little practicality in there. I would throw in the earth stability candle. Or, no, if you want to bring it into balance because your ego, Leo meet ego, ego meet Leo. I think one of the best ones that just keeps running through my head is the witch's brew. Because the witch's brew helps bring down the divine. The witch's brew helps you find your place and all of that. The other one is, if you need to boost up a little bit of Leo, Who's Your Mama?
Mm-hmm.
And Red Stilettos are two, and if you need to boost up that Leo a little bit. But if you need to bring it into balance, there's that Inner Balance candle, which helps you, again, find the divine. And the Tranquil Home in the Hoodoo candle is, again, helps bring that Leo back to balance. So those are two really good ones. Now, we could move on to Virgo, or we could take a quick break.
Let's get Virgo out of the way.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
Oh, okay. We can do Virgo.
Then we can come back and do Jackie and then Dorothy.
Oh, right.
So tell me about Virgo Moon.
The Virgo Moon is pretty interesting. It likes to analyze. It likes to categorize. It really likes order. It does not like things out of place at all. In fact, that would make a Virgo Moon feel very, very insecure. When it's being productive, it's practical, discriminating. It's dutiful. When it's challenging, it can be very petty, skeptical, and obsessive-compulsive, like you wouldn't believe. The best way to feed the moon in Virgo is through reliability and physical consistency.
Okay. So the Virgos need the consistency.
Yeah.
They need order. They like to make order out of chaos. All right.
Yeah, you know.
I can concur.
They are the button counters of the universe when it comes to magic. You know, everything has to be in its place. And, you know, they plan every step so that one thing flows flawlessly into the other. And, you know, it's a perfectly orchestrated effort. And so seldom does anyone with a Virgo moon meet with anything but success magically. The problem comes in when things don't go according to plan, and we all know that things seldom go according to plan. Virgo's persnickety, and it forgets that magic doesn't always subscribe to the laws of logic or order. So when things go awry, they have trouble picking up the ball and improvising. They just sit there wishing that they'd allowed for the problem instead of getting the gumption to fly by the seat of their pants. And so things fall flat. I think a good affirmation for Virgo moon is this. A magical engineer, though I embrace changes that occur in my plans. Regardless of structure, I twirl with the flow, applying the creative force as I go. I check for all problems before they arise, so magical efforts won't be jeopardized.
As you were talking and as Storm was talking, I just kept thinking, when your Virgo gets a little heavy and weighs you down, panhandle. The pan candle, the come to mama, the come to me candle, the red stilettos, all those things that are more impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
Even the fire energy and will, being a little more burning through stuff a little bit faster. Now, if you're having a hard time getting your Virgo going, the earth candle, the healing candle. Just things that are really going to ground you.
I think I would take the fire candle and insert it into the anus and light it up. That's what I would do.
Yes.
Listen,
me too.
That's one of the few things I don't have in Virgo, so leave those Virgos alone. Leave my Virgo alone. So on that,
I don't know if I would want to put Virgo any more into its body.
I do know some Virgos who just flip it the opposite way, and they it's so negatively aspect they can't get a grasp on it, but it makes them obsessive compulsive. So they don't, it never gets grounded where they can find any traction on it, because it keeps slipping through their fingers. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Do not go away. We're going to address the rest of the moons, and we're going to try and get through some Venuses as well. So do not touch that dial. We will be back in just 3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Summer after high school when we first met. We make out in your Mustang to Radiohead. And on my 18th birthday, we got matching tattoos. Used to steal your parents' liquor and climb to the roof. Talk about a future like we had. Never planned that one day I'd be losing you.
live with Jackie Smith, me, Storm Sestavani, him, and our favorite, Dorothy Morrison, and we're talking about your moon and your Venus. And I'm not talking about the dirty versions of it either. So we have left off at we just finished the moon in Virgo. But before we go on, we just want to let you know that we are extending the show a bit. We might go over some, so if you can stay with us and go through your Venus at the same time, that's great. And if not, go over to iTunes and find us on Keep It Magic, or hit the like button on the Blog Talk page, and we'll give you a notification of the show when it's coming up, and you can always download the podcast. And you can also find the podcast on keepitmagic.com. And while you're listening, if you want to browse some beautiful things, go over to wickedwitchstudios.com, and you'll see some of the great stuff that Dorothy Morrison is creating for us. So, are we ready to go on to that moon in Libra?
Well, this is Jackie's moon.
Oh, and he's looking at your chart, Jackie.
There's a lot more I could go into with Jackie's moon, but
I think Storm keeps my chart pinned to the wall because I frequently call him and go, all right, what's going on today?
Now Dorothy's going to start calling. Now what's going on today?
I may.
The moon in Libra needs to cooperate. It really needs to feel balanced in regards to its relationships with others and experience beauty and harmony. The image, what it is that they're wearing, not from a physical point of view, but from an ideological point of view. Jackie.
Did you just say what they're wearing?
Yeah. what they're wearing, because it's what it is that they're presenting to the outer world. And if they don't feel that it is the right ideological representation, they'll completely freak out about it.
Which Storm is making fun of me.
Jackie.
I had a meltdown today because I did not like my choice for my stage debut when I do my torch song at this lovely place in Detroit. So...
Now, when the moon is in Libra, is productive, it's relatable, it's easygoing, it's gregarious. When it is not being used productively, it can be indecisive, overcompromising, and vain, but vain in a different way than Leo. Leo is vain because of the fact that they know that they're the cat's meow. The moon in Libra is vain because it wants to be pretty. Nourishment for the moon in Leo is found through partnerships and relationships with others.
Okay. Now, and what kind of magical practitioner am I, Dorothy?
Well, you're extremely balanced. That's good, huh? You know, Libra moon brings an equilibrium to magic that no other personal moon sign can boast, because they are able to float effortless between the spiritual and the mundane. Do you like that, Jackie?
It's kind of what I do.
Yes. And you know, they not only understand the theories of cause and effect and action and reaction, but they also understand why a magical system of checks and balances is necessary. They know how to put those magical components in place so that magic flows in flawless measure. For these reasons.
If you'd like to get a perfect example of what Dorothy just said, go get a copy of Coventry Magic. Because I don't know, there's the why is that thing, the exercise.
Uh-huh.
The exercise is the 7 steps. I've got several systems to choose from.
Yes, you do. And they're all good.
Here's
systems.
Your perfect example of Libra Moon.
So the Libra Moon practitioners do well in efforts that involve balance and fairness, good judgment, justice, that kind of thing. Now, when it's in detriment, though, Libra gets caught up kind of in a magical juggling act. It gets so concerned about perfect balance that it plays the on one hand this, on the other hand that, what if game, until the world looks level. And then it has difficulty making a firm decision about anything. So when it's in detriment, nothing ever gets done. And magic just sits on the shelf, and it waits, and it watches, and it wonders if anybody's ever going to let it loose. And I'm not going to go
through. It will light 99 different candles, Dorothy, to make sure all their bases are covered.
Exactly. And I'm not going to go through the moon affirmations for the rest of the show. If anybody wants those,
get them in our book.
Yeah, they can go get a copy of Everyday Moon Magic, and that'll cut our time a little bit.
Okay.
So, now, Jackie, since that's your moon, I'm sure you don't have any of those problems. But
and she can only pick one candle.
Yeah. What candle should
they
get?
One candle. It would have to be everything and then some. But seriously, I think that if you are getting wishy-washy, which I know nothing about, but if you have to talk to 14 different people to make one decision, you need everything and then some, and you need Crown of Glory, and you need inner balance.
I said one.
This is why I'm only Libra moon.
She's covering her bases. She can't tell
her bases because I currently have 3, 6, 9, 12 candles burning. So, but I think that goes in either direction. If you need to amp up your Libra, or if you need to level it out, and listen, look at me how I'm describing this. It's bringing it all into balance. So we're gonna stop making fun of me. And we're going to
make fun of Dorothy.
In the MMA, I'll just make fun of me.
The moon in Scorpio needs deep involvement, and it needs intense transformation. This is not an individual that takes life in a superficial sort of way. It really looks at things hardcore. And if it can't look at things in a hardcore sort of way, it's not really interested. It will apply itself to everything in just a hardcore sort of way. When it's used productively, it's transforming, magnetic, and mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
When it is challenging, it can be sarcastic, jealous, and possessive, and it has not forgotten a trespass since the second grade.
You're absolutely right. Well, actually, not since the second month. Are you kidding? I remember
you
who
know, they
did
will
not
get
put
even with their mother who didn't feed them, you know, on day 3 at 72. You know.
Yes.
Nourishment for the moon in Scorpio is found through emotional consistency.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Okay. As far as magic goes, Scorpio moon is commonly known as the occult sign of the zodiac. And Scorpio moon does very well with magic because these practitioners do have the ability to cut things through to the bare bones, and then they use it to their advantage. Magic depends on tapping into and controlling the power of the unseen, and Scorpio does that. And so their real specialty is not just magical efforts, but they're also really good at divination. Now, Scorpio is also extremely emotional, and even though that's the catalyst for all magic, when Scorpio moon's in its detriment, Scorpio gets too emotional. They're sneaky. They hide their true feelings away, and they bury them so deeply that sometimes even they can't find them. And not understanding that the emotions already exist, they build them to overflow in magical work. And it's not just overkill. This causes a huge, huge problem when it comes to magic, because things, instead of working correctly, things just explode.
Translation, it hasn't met a doom candle it didn't like.
Exactly. You know, and I'm serious about things exploding. I rented a room from a guy one time, and I had 3 candles going on my altar, and it was, the altar had a slate top, so everything should have been fine. All 3 candles exploded at the same damn time, and damn near set the house on fire.
Damn. See, this is why you never leave a burning candle unattended.
No, honey, I was there.
Damn.
I was there, and this was less than 3 minutes after I lit those candles. So this is what overkill can do with a Scorpio moon. Too much energy, too much emotion.
Well, with that being said, if you have a Scorpio moon that's gone crazy, spiritual cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual cleansing and uncrossing. Or actually, you know, Van.
Jackie!
I use Van. I think I must have a case of it here.
Oh, it's a good one. Van. Actually, I would go with that in either direction. If you wanted to amp up the occult aspect of it, I'm going to go back to the Wicked Witch. The Witch's Brew. Anything from the Wicked Witch Mojo will work, but specifically the Witch's Brew. Now, let's go to the Sagittarius moon.
The interesting thing with the Sagittarian moon is that what type of food that it needs is that it absolutely needs to understand the meaning of things. They're always, you know, the word why is connected to everything, and they have to understand systems in order to be able to see clearly into the future, basically. The moon in Sagittarius, by the way, is very, very good if you like to gamble. Because they know the particular time and why that they should play at a certain point, and that's why they win so much. When it is used productively, it's visionary, open-minded, and freedom-loving. When it's challenging, it's condescending, extravagant, and impractical.
Okay. What about that magical practitioner?
Okay. They're natural leaders. They're confident. They're optimistic. You'll occasionally hear them relating personal anecdotes about how they reached success against all odds. But, you know, that's not arrogant, because they're quick to point out their faulty decisions. They're good at laughing about themselves. And that's all in the hope that other people won't fall into their trap. They have – into those traps. They have an attitude of, if I can do it, you know, so can you. So they are very – empowering, and they dole out these well-needed pats on the back. Sagittarius practitioners excel when it comes to efforts that involve independence, success, victory, goal accomplishment, as well as anything that requires self-confidence. The problem is that these particular moon practitioners also have a real desire to uncover the truth. And they pick things apart. They want to know how magic works, why it works, what makes it work like it works. That go on and on and on. They mess it up beyond all recognition. You know, by the time they're done, it's FUBAR. They get so caught up in the awe and wonder of it all that they often forget about two really important things. That magic works, regardless of how, why, or what, and the original reason they wanted to perform the magical effort to start with. So now, what would you do for the Sagittarius moon?
If you need to amp it up, I would say the success candle, the everything and then some, or the sun candle. If you need to bring it back in balance, because it needs to understand, like, it's the meaning of life, and it can get a little whiny on that one. The Sagittarius moon, interesting. I'm not sure what I would use for that one. I think I would probably do the earth, to bring it back into the earth energy, and to maybe, you know what, needed changes, banishing, that's what I would use. I'm done.
I only got six candles there. So, you know, we're improving.
So the next moon is both Storm's moon and my husband's moon.
Okay, the moon in Capricorn. We're the best moon.
that's
my Leo that's saying we're the best moon. it needs structure, organization, and social accomplishments. When it is used productively, it's disciplined, hardworking, and constructive. Now, challenging, it can be very obsessed with order. It can be cold. It can be constricted. What the moon in Capricorn needs is found through their career and their relationship with the outer world.
Mm-hmm. always planning for the future, are you? Dorothy, how about our Capricorn moon
well,
magic?
You know, Capricorn has that common sense approach when it comes to life, so they're probably the most pragmatic of all the practitioners. They don't get upset. If they're working a magical effort and they don't have something that a particular spell calls for, they use whatever they've got on hand to get the job done. They also understand that less is more. They make great teachers. They always see the big picture. They also, when they go into working an effort, they also understand how that magic is going to affect other people. And that's really important. So they make excellent candidates for all efforts. So see, you're kind of right, Storm. It is almost the best moon sign.
Well, I stated in the chat room that pragmatic is witch speak for best. And if you look at this, Dorothy, this is what's going to shock you also. I wrote, you notice that my Cappy Moon wants one candle because less is more and Jackie wants 300.
Good Lord. Over all my bases.
How funny is that? Long-term goals, things that require planning or efforts that require an extra dose of strategy or logic. Great magic for Capricorn. But now you're not going to like me anymore because now we're going to talk about Capricorn moon shortcomings. Because they're such practical planners and they're so tied into logic, strategy, and personal responsibility, they tend to think their way is the only way. And this
Amen.
Can cause all kinds of problems when it comes to their students. Or even something as simple as a magical discussion. One slight they're into disagreement and the guilt trip comes out full force. Not just any guilt trip, but the mother of all guilt trips. And then they lay it on as thick as molasses, never bothering to consider that if they'd only listen, they might actually learn something that could make their magic even more potent than it is. So now, do you still like me or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
I think there's a Van candle in here, too, somewhere.
I burn them constantly.
See? Look at how good I am. So the what I saw in the for the positive aspect for the Capricorn is the Wicked Witchin. If you need to add a little something-something for your Capricorn moon, Wicked Witchin, just get it out there and get her done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bad aspect, Van it away. So let's go to now the Aquarius moon. That's Patty's moon.
Yeah, it needs to be innovative, original, and it needs to challenge the social hierarchy.
Oh, again.
When the moon is in Aquarius, it's used and it's productively used productively as social, revolutionary, and electric. When it is challenging, the moon in Aquarius is anarchistic, deviant, and impractical. Nourishment is found through relationships with the larger collective and the group mind.
So she's a little sabotager. Anarchy. Okay, got it.
Don't let that sweetness fool you.
I'm going to put a big A on her desk.
God, yeah. We need to get her one of those A rings.
I'm totally doing it.
The Aquarius moon brings an idealistic approach to life. And so when it comes to magic, they're probably one of the most imaginative signs. They prefer, you know, things that are unconventional. They don't like to conform. They're not going to waste time on the status quo. They're going to march their own drummers and embrace a sense of personal independence, but they still do get things done. That ruling water element gives them a flexibility. So they recover really quickly from last-minute changes and also are able to rise to meet challenges. And so that makes them excellent candidates for performing efforts that require imagination and inspiration, as well as change, transformation, and freedom. The problem is they seldom consider how the magic they're performing is going to affect the people around them And instead of looking at the big picture, they only worry about what might be to their personal benefit. They tend to think that everything is about them. So when it comes to magical operations, you know, everything is not about them. And that inflated, wonderful Aquarian moon ego part, you know, brings them results that they didn't expect and didn't prepare for.
That's funny. Now, I'm going to limit it to two candles, Storm. Praise be. I would do the Who's Your Mama to amp up that Aquarius moon, mm-hmm. if you need to make it about you. But if you need to be less of it about you, I would use the Happy Home because that is a community. It's more of a community candle, understanding your place within it.
That sounds pretty good.
Balance. So Pisces, give me some Pisces moon.
The Pisces moon really needs to commit themselves to a vision or ideal and work towards its realization. And the reason being that it has to work towards its realization is it can get very, very clouded up in some whack-a-mamey really easily. Used productively, this is a very poetic moon. It can be very, very emotional. It's excessively empathic. When it's challenging, it can be chaotic, unrealistic, and addictive. So these are the people that get addicted to their magic if they use it. Nourishment is found through emotionally merging with the vision and aspirations of the collective.
Okay. Dorothy.
Pisces is probably the most sensitive of all the moon signs, and because of its association with the water element, it can be extremely powerful magically. It's also one of the most adaptable. It has the ability to roll with the flow and determine when mundane action is more appropriate than that of a magical nature. So that's really good. It's often because of the mundane steps that they set into motion that the magic they set into motion works, and they understand that too. So if you've got a Pisces moon, you would excel at efforts that involve flexibility and change, motivation and action, as well as things like soothing raw emotions like jealousy, fear, anger, that kind of thing. On the downside, hurt feelings rather than anger usually comprise the largest problem for practitioners with a Pisces moon. And that's because Pisces tends to stifle the hurt, and once pushed aside, it festers into other magical obstacles like loss of self-confidence, poor self-esteem, other insecurities like that. And you have to be confident when you're working magic. They tend to litter their little minds with self-doubt and second-guessing, and you know, the Pisces moon wonders if magic is really going to work, but begins to think that no effort performed theretofore ever really did work. And finally, Pisces just gives up. It decides to leave the magic to those more powerful, more knowledgeable, or better suited to that type of work.
Hmm. On the positive side, it sounds like Pisces is a lot about, the lesson is a lot about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And make it movable, mutable, using them, staying with them, et cetera. So I'd really use a sacred space candle because that's what that's about. It's about boundaries. It's about your own personal sacred space and respecting that rather than giving yourself over or being too empathic or too intuitive, knowing when to turn it on and turn it off. So I would use a sacred space blessed herbal candle for that. And then on the flip side of that, I would... You know, I'm going to go back to our witch's brew candle because it helps put things back in balance because of what the ingredients in that one are, or even the inner balance candle. I like those two for that one. Okay, so I did three. Now, with that being said, we're going to take one last break. And then
we're going to do Drive-By Venus.
Drive-By Venus.
I love it.
And I'm going to sing Hey Baby, She's Got It the entire time. Okay. So do not go away. We're almost done. We're going to take you through Venus and understand, help you understand why your moon and your Venus working together is really important in a good way. So do not touch that dial. We will be back in just a few minutes. And while you're waiting for us to come back, check out CoventryCreations.com or WickedWitchStudios.com. Because, you know, with all these candles we're talking about, you got to start placing your orders before we run out. So we'll be right back.
I let it fall.
Live. And if you have enjoyed the show, please hit the like button on the Blog Talk Radio page. Check out keepitmagic.com. We've got lots of articles and great stuff and follow-up. We got some great articles from Dorothy. And just so you know, in a couple of days, we're going to have some new articles for our March newsletter. If you want to download the podcast, go to iTunes and search Keep It Magic. Or you can go to the Keep It Magic site and check out our archives there. So we, my friend, are moving on to Venus.
Drive by Venus.
Drive by Venus.
Okay, Jackie is allowed one candle. Dorothy, quick soundbite, and I'm just going to give what this person needs in regards to their relationships. Venus and Aries, I'll start with. These particular Venus and Aries, which Dorothy has and Rihanna has, they need adventure, passion, and romance.
That's probably why women with Venus and Aries always first go for the bad boy.
There you go. And I would
have to say love's enchantment, blessed herbal candles to keep it enchanted, passionate, hot, spicy, etc.
Venus and Taurus needs sensuality, practicality, comfort, and security, and a bottle of this massage oil probably won't hurt.
Now, this one I might challenge you on because I think it's the lover pan candle. Because you get some of that, or maybe we flip that, use the lover pan for Aries and the love's enchantment for Taurus. But those two are kind of interactive because they need that connection.
I would stay with the lover's pan because pan is more ruby.
Yep, more ruby.
It likes to root, so.
And rot.
So does Taurus. Dorothy, what do you have to add to Venus and Taurus?
I don't have anything to add. You just go right on.
Okay. Venus in Gemini needs to be stimulated by their partner's mind and possibly a computer with an encyclopedia.
Now, I think come to mama. I think come to mama because you connect on whatever level you need to connect with.
But,
because
you know,
that's going to...
Sometimes Venus in Gemini is a little... unemotional and high-strung.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do to squelch that?
Red stilettos.
Okay.
Cleo May. That's what I would do. You need to make them hot.
Yeah.
Get stuck in their mind.
You need to make them react.
I don't think that you all would have any problems doing that. As long as
not
they can think
new,
about it.
Not with the new dress that my Libra moon needed to buy today.
Everything will be quite around.
Cancer and Venus.
Venus and Cancer, the difficulty with it, of course, is it can be very, very moody, which needs to be dealt with. But what Cancer needs most of all is emotional bonding, so that they need the pure laying in bed, intimacy, talking, communicating, caring type of just laying there with somebody and being all absorbed.
Okay. Well, that's very easy. Emotional balance. You like that one? There's quiet crickets. Crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Dorothy to add it to Cancer.
No. I really don't have a lot to add to these Venus signs because that's more your forte than mine. But yeah, I think emotional balance would be great with that because, you know, if they're you know, sometimes they're afraid to let go. That cuddling, talking stuff, you know, just lying there and being all absorbed, you know, in bed is great. But the problem is they don't want to let their partner get up and leave. So I think, yeah, that emotional balance would work real well.
Venus and Leo?
Venus and Leo. It hasn't met a Cleo May bottle it doesn't like, but Venus and Leo needs to be adored in order to feel secure about themselves.
Who's your mama? Who's your mama, Wicked Witch Mojo, because you draw the people to you that are going to adore you. You create minions.
And do you still have some of those in stock at Coventry?
Absolutely.
That's good because some of the candles you're recommending are from the retiring line. So I'm glad to know that, and I want your people to know that they can get
those. CoventryCreations.com.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I forgot that one. I love that one. That's why I keep going back to it. Okay.
Virgo.
Helping
you. This is Jackie's. Venus in Virgo needs to be in service to others in order to control the chaotic outer world.
Helping hand, because it connects you with divine interaction. It helps you stay connected to the divine and to know that you're not alone, and you'll always have that. You'll always have the service given to you as well.
Yeah, so definitely.
Be serviced. Okay. Libra.
This is mine, Venus in Libra. Venus in Libra needs others in order to feel complete, God forbid. But
well, I think you, you need tranquil home and guardian protector.
Great.
Wow.
Why?
Because that when you need to be connected to others, that Libra needs that balance. That's the tranquil home, guardian protector, so you don't sell your soul.
Or give away your personal power.
Yeah. I agree. Venus in Scorpio, because it's a roughie, I'm going to go through everything with it.
Uh-huh.
Venus in Scorpio, it seeks relationships that are transformational. Used positively, it is erotic, sexually intense, and powerful. When it is challenging, Venus in Scorpio is obsessive, lustful, and deceptive. In relationships, Venus in Scorpio needs emotional intensity.
Hmm.
I would have to. Drama queen. But I would say this is red stilettos would describe it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would say red stilettos would feed that. It would absolutely feed that.
What would you do for the challenging aspects, Jackie? They can get very, very obsessed with who they're in a relationship with, and they like to dominate them. Yeah.
So the Prozac candle is the heart candle.
Okay.
Or the emotional balance.
Or the emotional balance, yeah.
Sagittarius, in relationships, Venus and Sagittarius needs their romantic visions, and they need to be mentally stimulated. So they haven't met a porn movie they don't like.
That would have to be Pan. We'll go back to Pan. Red Stilettos, Cleo May. Hi, John. Oh, no. Hi, John. Sorry. I only got one. Hi, John. I didn't pre-write it down.
If somebody is having a little bit of a difficulty with being involved with a man that has a zipper problem, what would you suggest?
Scales of Justice.
Okay. Venus in Capricorn.
I would suggest just killing him.
Okay. That's kind of Scales of Justice.
Okay. The Scales of Justice is the doom candle sort of way.
Yeah. No, sucks to be you. Sorry, sucks to be you. Okay. And that is a candle. It's the Wicked Witch Mojo.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Venus in Capricorn, this is Jackie's husband. He needs to feel comfortable with his position in the world.
Well, that's the crown of glory. Of glory.
Venus in Aquarius.
Everything and then some.
I'm going to cover all because it's another roughie, and so is Venus in Pisces. Venus in Aquarius seeks relationships that are unorthodox. Venus in Aquarius, used positively, is progressive, experimental, and eccentric. When it is challenging, it can be fanatical, it can be deviant and unpredictable and unfaithful. In relationships, Venus in Aquarius needs freedom and open-mindedness. So if you're involved with a Venus in Aquarius man, the freakier you get, the better. Are you hearing me, Ellen?
Which I think you need an inspiration candle because you need new ideas.
Yeah, all the time. And you need a Kindle porn book. Just to get your ideas going there. What candle? Is that the only one, Jesse, you would do?
Yeah, it would be the inspiration, but if you need to quiet it down a little bit, then just anything brown, the happy home or the earth or the goddess or the guardian protector, those things.
And there's also, if you know, if you're not feeling like it, and you know your husband always is, there's this wonderful little thing called saltpeter that may actually work as well.
Pisces. Give me some Pisces.
And Venus and Pisces seeks relationships that satisfy their romantic longings. Now, used positively, it's flowing, receptive, and sacrificing. When it is challenging, Venus and Pisces is codependent, delusional, and escapist. In relationships, they need emotional fusion. This is very, 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 very difficult. People that have Venus and Pisces usually want to merge with the other individual, and they often lose themselves in regards to their relationships. Also, with this one and why Venus and Pisces can be very, very difficult is because that merging vision, that need to sacrifice oneself, that is usually found because they're seeking redemption in some way. This can be a very, very difficult Venus. Even though that she's considered exalted in Pisces, it can be very difficult.
Inner balance
candles, by the way.
Inner balance, but also spiritual cleansing if it gets too much and you need to disconnect from somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's all the Venus.
Now, if you're wondering what the heck to do with this moon candle and this Venus candle of you and your partner and all that other happy jazz, what I would say is I would literally align them crosswise from each other. Make a cross with them. Your Venus diagonal to his Venus, your moon diagonal to his moon, so it all starts to work together and you can start building a relationship. And then I would put one candle in the middle, which I would put the peace candle from the World Magic line. Because what you want to do is, okay, here's my Libra talking, so back off. What you want to do is have everybody's energy working together.
And would you burn them a little at a time, like a little every day, and then the next day move them closer together toward that peace candle?
I would. And there's a reason why I would only do a little bit every day, is because if you try and do it all at once, everybody rebels.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like there's a saying that everyone can handle a 10% shift in anything. Just do a little 10% shift. Everybody can handle that. And eventually all those 10% shifts add up.
Yeah.
So let it be a little more natural and to bring everything together in that regard. So this was a big show.
So one thing, before we close, Billboard has put up a poll that basically says, what do you think about the Chris Brown and Rihanna thing? 16.65% said that it's great, I'm glad they're back together. 30.18% said, I've lost respect for them both, and this should have happened. And 6% said, I don't care about their personal lives, it's about the music, and the music is hot.
How interesting is that?
Huh. So I guess
apparently they did care about their personal lives, or they wouldn't have even weighed in on the poll.
Yeah.
They would have gone there.
You need to go post that comment, Dorothy.
that's my Scorpio moon, bringing it back down to the bare bones. So.
Right. And then here's Jackie's Libra moon saying, can't we all just get along? So I want to thank absolutely everyone for joining us and sticking with us through our extended show, for learning about their moons and their Libras and how they're interacting. I highly suggest get a little more information, look at how your moon and Libra interacts. And you know what? There's a guy I know. His name is Storm Sestavani, and he can do a reading for you on that. And you can reach him off the air at psychicfriendsnow.com and book a reading with him. And if you want, again, more information on the show and our articles, and Storm does a great monthly cosmic forecast, go to keepitmagic.com. If you want to learn more about Dorothy Morrison and all of her wise, wise ways, she is our favorite witch, our favorite witch ever. And you can find her at wickedwitchstudios.com. You can find all of her books pretty much in any bookstore you walk into. I suggest you buy 3, 4, 10, all of them. You should get all of them. She doesn't have a tarot deck. Look for that. So you can find her at wickedwitchstudios.com. I do readings myself. If you want a private consultation with myself, you can find me at coventrycreations.com. And you can find everything you need on our fan page on Facebook, which is Keep It Magic, or there's another one, Keep In It Magic. We tweet, we Facebook, look for us. And download the podcast because you know you're going to want to listen to this a couple more times. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. And we have some great shows coming up this month, too. We've got one more show with Dorothy, which we're going to wrap up all of this love stuff and have some open discussions on that. Lori and Carrillo will be on the 6th of March talking about Ostara and the magic of spring. On the 13th of March, we're very excited to bring on Raven Digitalis. We have, and on the last week, last Tuesday in March, we're bringing on Christopher Penzick. So we've got a lot of big hitters coming for you. Put us on your calendar. Get the reminder from Blog Talk Radio. And I want you to have a great day. And what do they need to do, Storm?
They need to keep it magic.
Looking like Debbie Fly, I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new freak. Yeah, this is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout. Yeah,
girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out when I walk in the spot. Yeah. This is what I see.
Okay.
Everybody stops and staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey,
sexy and I know it.